بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, I would like to congratulate on the occasion of this great Islamic feast, which is a public feast indeed. I congratulate this occasion to all people who are seeking the truth and freedom seekers of the world, or freedom fighters. And also I would like to congratulate this occasion to the Islamic Ummah and the great honorable nation of Iran and to the honorable audience, brothers and sisters. In fact, remembering the occasion of Bi'itha, or the day Prophet Muhammad was raised as Prophet unto mankind, is not merely remembering a historical occasion. It is a point, or it is an episode, when we talk about it, which is an honorable memory in history of mankind. We should always remember this point. In fact, reliance on this glorious memory, in fact, is repetition and memorization of an unforgettable lesson in the first class, in the first place for the Islamic Ummah, whether the citizens, individuals or the elite and scholars, politicians, scientists, intellectuals, or the other members of the human community. It is repetition of a lesson. It is repetition of an epitome example. It's a remembrance of an educative event. The dimensions of this event are very diverse. In fact, if someone wants to explain it in an expressive language, although very briefly, one has to write books and speak hours about it. However, as we have a cursory look at this event, then we learn numerous lessons. Just see, the Holy Prophet of Islam, with the message that encompasses all the needs of mankind for perfection, with this message in a society where he emerged, he launched his call and invitation at a time when none of those desirable perfections existed in that society. The Holy Prophet was the prophet of knowledge, but there was the society lacked knowledge. The Holy Prophet was prophet of justice, but the society lacked justice. There was no even a breeze of justice. The power mongers, the powerful chiefs, bullying chiefs, had dominated the life and destiny of the people. The Prophet was the prophet of ethics, morality, tolerance, forgiveness, fairness, kindness in a society where these concepts were absent absolutely. It was a harsh society, violent society, bullying society, and submissive society, on the other hand, free from spirituality, morality, knowledge, and dependent on carnal desires, and ignorant errors, bigotism and biases, impertinent proud. So in such an ossified society and such a difficult atmosphere, in a place where everything had been turned into a stone without any water, this sapling grew. It took 13 years for the sapling to grow under those harsh circumstances. And then those 13 years led to the establishment of a government, of a society based on knowledge, justice, monotheism, unity of God, morality, ethic, and dignity. Humiliation was turned into dignity, violence into brotherhood, ethnic prejudice into tolerance, ignorance into knowledge, and a fundamental firm principle and a very solid foundation was based and was founded on the basis of which on which for centuries the Muslims could reach the peak of the civilization of the world and civility of the world, and even they created the peaks, the summits, which were unprecedented in the human history. It took about 10 years for this government to rule. Just see, those 13 years plus 10 years of government, of ruling, it is 23 years, which is just like a moment in the life of a nation, in the history of a nation. It is just like a very quick hour. So, within this short period of time, a great movement was launched, which one could say that divided the history into two parts, the pre-Islamic era and post-Islamic era. Humanity was pushed forward. The foundations of morality were consolidated, and unforgettable lessons were left for humankind. This is the greatness and grandeur of the Bi'tha, or the day Prophet Muhammad was raised as prophet unto mankind. Of course, the different elements contributed to this success. In the first place, it was the firm, solid element that was full of spirituality, purity, and knowledge of God, and reliance and trust in God, in Prophet's existence, in himself, within himself. The Holy Prophet was the most knowledgeable and wisest man in Mecca before he was appointed as Prophet, before he was raised. He was the most dignified, the most honorable, the most ethical man of the region before he was raised as prophet, before achieving prophecy. This outstanding figure among those people was blessed by God, and the burden was put on his shoulder because God had tested him. God knew his servant and knew that on whose shoulder he is putting this burden. And Prophet stood firm. The resistance and steadfastness, along with deep knowledge of the goal that he was marching towards and the way he was traversing, was a backing for all the success that Prophet Muhammad achieved and was a backing for flourishment of this great movement. Well, truth achieves victory. Truth is victorious, but provided that the conditions are fulfilled. The condition for success of truth is defense of the truth. The condition for the victory of truth is resistance in the way of truth. When in the first stage of Bi'tha, after Prophet Muhammad was appointed unto mankind, the first 3 years when the call was clandestine, and Prophet had succeeded to encourage a few people to encourage Islam, and then a verse was revealed, make your call open and announce it, hoist the flag and go ahead openly. Then the Prophet entered the scene openly, and you know what happened. The luminaries of Quraysh and the strongmen of that society were frightened and were shaken, were trembling. The first thing they did, they tried to intimidate or try to lure Prophet Muhammad. They went to Abi Talib and said, if your nephew wants chiefdom, we will give the chieftainship of the society to him. If he wants wealth, we will give him enough wealth so that he becomes richest of all of us. If he wants to become the ruler, we will appoint him as our king. Just tell him to stop his call. Mr. Abi Talib really was worried about the life of Prophet because of their plots, and then went to Prophet Muhammad and said, well, the chiefs of Mecca have sent a message. Perhaps I may recommend you to just give up your resistance. Why do you resist so much? The Prophet said, oh, my uncle, والله لو وضع الشمس في يميني والقمر في شمالي لأعرض عن هذا الأمر لا أسأله حتى أظهره الله أو يذهب بما فيه. He said, oh my uncle, if sun is placed on my right hand and moon on my left hand, in order to give up my aim, swear by God, I will not do it until God makes us victorious or all of us perish away. And then, according to a tradition, a Prophet's eyes became full of tears, and then he left him. Abu Talib was excited when he came across this firmness and faith, and saying, my nephew, اذهب وقل ما اذهب. Go and do whatever you want. Follow up your goal. والله لا أسلمنك بشيء. Swear by God, I will not change you with anything else. This resistance creates resistance, firmness. This resistance and a steadfastness on the part of Prophet Muhammad rooted or consolidated resistance in Abu Talib. This commitment to the goal and lack of fear of enemy, and also not pinning hopes on the advantages that the enemy wants to give as quid pro quo for stopping his call, this resistance, in fact, created resistance and firmness, peace of mind, trust in the path and in the goal and in the God to whom this objective belongs. Hence, only there were only 30 to 40 persons. They stood firm against all those difficulties and problems. And every day, the following of Islam increased. Every day, they realized that what is happening to Ammar, to Bilal, Sumayya, and Yasir were tortured and fell martyr. They were observing all these events, but at the same time, they were embracing Islam. So truth progresses this way. Truth and righteousness cannot succeed in comfort, in safety, hoisting the flag of righteousness when there is safety, when there is security. It doesn't work. It doesn't go ahead. Truth and righteousness goes ahead when the backers of truth show resistance and firmness in defending the truth. The verses of the Holy Quran says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. Muhammad is the prophet of God, and those who are with him are firm towards the enemies. Here أشداء means firmness, firmness, resistance, not to give in, not to surrender in. You know, once a metal is roasted, then it is rotten and it's just is perished away. But there is another metal which is not rotten, which is not rusted, and it is not rotten, and it remains firm. Ashadda means this, firmness, resistance, firmness, steadfastness. Resistance in the battlefield has its own manifestation. Resistance in the field of talks with the enemy has another manifestation. Just see the Holy Prophet in his battles. When it was necessary to talk to his enemy, how did he talk to the enemy? It was from head to toe, the plan of the Prophet Muhammad was firmness, steadfastness. There was not an iota of giving in. In the Ahzab battle or parties battle, Prophet Muhammad entered talks with the enemies. But what kind of talks? Look at the history. If it was war, it was with firmness. If it was negotiations, it was with firmness. If it was interaction, it was with firmness, steadfastness. This is the meaning of ashidda'a ala al-kuffar. Ruhama'a bainahum means they are kind among themselves. Here the bulwark is soft. There is flexibility. The firmness is not there. Here it is heart-to-heart relationship. Here they have to be kind to each other. They have to be flexible towards each other. This is the resistance of the early years of Bi'tha, which led to resistance, strong resistance in Shu'ba Abi Talib. It is not a joke. For 3 years, they stayed in a valley on the side of Mecca, without water, without plant, under the sun, burning sun. Prophet Muhammad, Khadija, Abi Talib, and all the Muslims and their families lived in this small valley, and the road was closed was blocked to any food to them, to any livelihood means to them, sustenance to them. And according to the ignorant era's customs, when there was no war, as soon as they decided to go to the city to just purchase something, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab and others, other chiefs of Mecca, had recommended or ordered their servants and children, whenever they want to purchase something, you go and just give twice the money they want to pay and purchase the commodity. Do not allow them to purchase any commodity, any goods. It was very harsh condition, but they resisted for 3 years. Is it a joke that resistance in the early years, that firm pillar of this tent, the heart that trusts in God and relies on God, creates such a resistance, and the individuals wait. The children used to cry from night to the morning, and the scrambles of the kids was heard by the Quraysh chiefs. They were sympathetic, but because of the fear of the chiefs, they couldn't help. But the Muslims, whose children were perishing away in front of their eyes, you know, a number of them perished away in the Sha'b Abi Talib, a number of them suffered from hunger, from disease, but they didn't just withdraw. The commander of the faithful, and Muhammad told Muhammad Hanafiya, his dear son, the mountains may move, but you should not move. This is the recommendation of the Prophet and the words Prophet Muhammad left for his Ummah. So this is the lesson that we take from the Bi'tha of Prophet Muhammad. This is the teaching of the Bi'tha. Merely sitting and saying the verse was revealed and Gabriel came to Prophet and appointed him as Prophet unto mankind, and we become happy who embraced Islam and who not. These won't solve any problem. The problem is that we should take lessons from this event, which is the mother of all events throughout the life of Prophet Muhammad. This is the lesson. All these 23 years are lessons for us. Once I was talking to friends, the life of Prophet Muhammad should be studied for every millimeter of this span of time, for every moment of this span of time. Every moment is a lesson, is an event. It is a great human manifestation. The entire 23 years is as such, the youth must study the life and biography of Prophet Muhammad and see what has happened. If you see that a great ummah has been created today too, the best words, the best paths, the greatest lessons, the most curative medicines for the ailments of mankind lie in Islamic ummah. Just see how it was established, how it developed, and how it rooted. Just merely saying that we are right, or truth is with us, we cannot go forward with this statement. Truth needs resistance, steadfastness. I have just said a number of times a saying from Imam Ali in Safain battle. He said, this flag can be hoisted by those who in the first hand have wisdom, know what is going on, know what is the goal, what is the objective, and secondly are patient. Patience here means steadfastness, firmness, resistance. This is what we should take. This is the lesson we should take from Bi'tha. Our Imam, was in fact a spring of that great river who could really create a huge movement. Imam's heart was full of faith in his path. As he said, as the Quran says, the Prophet Muhammad was the first believer in Islam. In our revolution, Imam Khomeini was the first believer in this path. And his heart, more than any other person, was full of faith in this path and in this objective. He realized it. He knew what he was doing. He had realized the grandeur of the job he had undertaken, and he had realized the requirements. The first requirement was trusting God and steadfastness in this path. And he stood firm. The youth of this nation stood with his, on the basis of his steadfastness. When the citizens of this country witnessed his patience, then they also learned patience and resistance from him. هو الذي أنزل سكينة في قلوب المؤمنين لازدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. When this patience and steadfastness is blessed, is given to mankind, then their faith is strengthened. What are you fearing from? This is the holy verse of Quran. The army of the skies, heavens and earth belongs to God and belongs to you. These are the divine traditions. Just see, the Almighty God has created two things. One, this world of creation with all its rules, regulations and customs and norms, and the Sharia rules and regulation, the religion, the guidance for people's life. These two have been created together, and they are compatible with each other. These two are compatible, and these rules and regulations are compatible. If, according to divine rules, that is the legislative will of God, you go ahead with on the basis of these, then your life is compatible with the rules of creation. Just like a ship that is moving in the direction of wind, wind helps it and pushes it ahead, or it is just moving towards in the direction of the stream. The creation, laws of creation help a person who moves in this direction, provided that you move in this direction. The Iranian nation has moved. The creation laws help natural divine laws help the nation. Otherwise, who would think that in the heart of the most sensitive spot of the world, that is in the Middle East, one of the most dependent regimes on the world arrogant, that is the Shah's government, the Pahlavi regime, would be toppled in a society, many of whose intellectuals and elites for tens of years had been inculcated by Western teachings and temptations and carnal desires. In such a society, all of a sudden, the flag of Islam was hoisted. This society then invited the Islamic Ummah to Islam. Who could think about it? But it happened. It means that when a nation, a community, a society moves in this direction, then the divine winds, that is the laws of creation, would help such a nation to go ahead. It is not only the issue of Iran. Today the world of Islam has awakened, has become informed, awareness. One day it was perceived that whatever the great powers, bullying powers of the world, whether US or former Soviet Union, would decide it would happen. And the politicians had no other way than going ahead according to their will. But today, the nations do not believe in such a theory. Even the politicians and elites also, many of them do not believe in this theory. We should resist. Let me submit to the Iranian nation that. Let me submit to the followers of the Muhammadi Ba'tha. The path is resistance. The Islamic Republican system, following Imam Khomeini, has chosen resistance. We have benefited from this resistance and we have not lost. All the loudspeakers of the arrogant powers tried to discourage Iran to support the Palestinians, the Iranian nation, the Iranian government, and officials to stop their support of the Palestinian nation. No, we are going to support them. We will not stop that. The Palestinian nation entitles the Palestinian nation is righteous. They are oppressed. Shame to those who claim to be the defenders of the human rights, who are overlooking the oppression committed against the Palestinian nation, and then they claim to be the defenders of human rights, and they are not ashamed of this. It's really surprising. It's amazing. Where in the world, if the Palestinians were an alien minority in that country, we won't say the owners of that country, suppose that the Palestinians in their motherland were a minority, migrants who had migrated to that country, then who would tolerate those operations against them? The houses are... Their houses are destroyed, the men are imprisoned, the women are killed, they are always intimidated and threatened. Then they are besieged, they are sieged, economically sieged. The gardens are destroyed. Their life is just destroyed. And then Mr. Bush very shamefully says, we are duty-bound to freedom. We are committed to freedom. Is it freedom? Shame on you. Is it defense of freedom? Suppressing and oppressing such a nation in its own homeland? And then the powerful countries defending the bullying, the terrorist, the murderer, and close their ears to the suppressions committed against this nation, and then they would just make a statement, and then they would claim to be the defenders of freedom. The Iranian nation is wakeful. They know the truth. The arrogant powers, the nature of arrogance is such that if you withdrew one step, they would come one step forward. Do not think that by withdrawal against or vis-a-vis the arrogant powers and declining or compromising the principles of the truth, the arrogant powers would just show magnanimity and then would withdraw one step. It won't happen. If you withdraw one step, they would come one step forward. If you evacuate one trench, they will capture it. The Islamic nation should look at the issue from this angle. The politicians of the world of Islam should look at the events around themselves from this on the basis of this approach. The Iranian nation has stood and has made the truth a statement. Our statement is the truth of the world and the word of truth, or monotheism. We say, do not be servant of US, servant of bullying powers and arrogant powers, and the servant of the pharaohs of the time, and the servants of Abu Lahabs and Abu Jahls of this time. Who is Abu Jahl this time? Abu Jahl passed away. Be servant of God only. Today we have Abu Jahl. This trend is continuing. Today we have Abu Jahl. Today we have Abu Lahab. We have those who are warmongers. We have the brainless, ignorant figures. They are in this world. Find the Abu Jahls of today. The Abu Jahls today are those who make a nuclear bomb and threaten the entire world, and then oppress without any try to stop a nation who are trying to make to use nuclear energy for electricity. They say, do not do so, because it enables you, it gives you this ability. You should not go after nuclear technology. This is what they say. Vis-a-vis or against these bullying powers, these ignorant people, those who do not understand what is the truth, what is logic, they don't understand anything. Just like the bullies, brainless bullies who look at their muscles, show their muscles, and then they scramble, they cry. If you withdraw against them, you are the losers. The Iranian nation has experienced this for 30 years. It is 30 years almost that we are facing these problems. We have gone ahead. We really have gone ahead. Today, the Iranian nation cannot be compared with the Iranian nation 20 years ago. Its knowledge, its technology, its experience, its skills, different skills, its great overall development, national, economic, social development, its influence and authority in the region cannot be compared to 20 years, 25 years ago. It has been achieved on the basis of this resistance. This is the lesson of Bi'tha. All of us, every one of us, should understand this and become acquainted with the history of the life of Prophet Muhammad. Those days was the Bi'tha of the Prophet Muhammad. Today is the Bi'tha of the Islamic Ummah. Today, the Islamic Ummah should feel that this is the time of Bi'tha. This is the time the Islamic Ummah should move very insightfully to add to its knowledge, to add to its capabilities, to its national and Islamic international solidarity, unity of world. It is very important. This is the message of the Iranian nation and the Islamic revolution of Iran and the Islamic system. And the horizon is clear for us. We know what we are doing, and we know where we will reach with the blessing of God. And we know that the path to going to achieving that goal is moving, not standing and not withdrawing. Hope that God would bless us with the blessings of the Bi'tha and grant dignity to the Islamic Ummah and make the heart of the Imam of the time happy with all of us, and bless the souls of the martyrs and our Imam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.